south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Okay, now, last week I spoke about my own personal cost of living and expenses down here in Latin America. And just to expand on a little portion of that, let's talk about property taxes. Now, in some Latin countries, property taxes are abbreviated with the letters USI, USI, it's called down here. And in full Spanish terms, it's called Impuesto Único Sobre Inmuebles. Now, inmuebles is a Spanish term for real estate, buildings, and property. There are some really important things you need to know here. If you buy a house or a condo from a developer, note that before the project even breaks ground, he and the builder submit the plans to the local municipality to get the actual building permit. If it's a big project, let's say of 50 houses or more in a gated, guarded subdivision or residential tower, the cost of that construction project, broken down house by house, will usually be the actual cost of construction. So, for example, a $100,000 condo will be registered at $100,000. Now, it's no skin off the builder, contractor, or developer's back, whatever the future tax assessment might be, because he's going to sell the property. And new owners will have to pay that, of course. Now, property taxes in Latin America are extremely low to begin with. So, for example, even on a $100,000 condo, registered in the municipality at the true price, you still might only have a tax bill of maybe $500 or $600 a year. And on a $200,000 property, maybe $1,000 to $1,200 a year. Compared to U.S. property taxes, very cheap. Now, there are two separate situations where one could pay a small fraction of even that. The first being when you contract out and build your house yourself. Then you and your architect, or if you don't speak any Spanish, just your architect, will go down to the local municipality building permit office, submit the plans, and estimate what the construction is worth. Now, when you're off the Gringo tourist trail, your architect can usually waggle that price down so low that it seems unbelievable. For example, a gringo friend of mine just built a 3,000-square-foot house. Probably cost him $100,000 in materials and maybe $30,000 for labor. And I'm sure if there was a market, which there isn't, he could sell it for $200,000 or so. And he has it registered in the municipality for around $15,000. Not $150,000, I'm saying $15,000. So his recent tax assessment for the year has been around $110. Now, he'd never be able to get away with that if he bought a house in an existing subdivision from a developer. Because, like I said, the developer will have already submitted those plans long before the houses were built and registered for the amount closer to the real cost. So then you might ask, what if you bought an older business or an older house from a person whose tax assessment is extremely low? I mean, embarrassingly low. What happens, for example, when you pay the going rate, let's say it's $200,000, and he's got it listed with the municipality as only, let's say, $4,000. Well, you've got two options there. One is, and I mentioned this in the show a long time ago, you can make a side deal with the guy you're buying it from. I'm not recommending this. I'm just telling you, a lot of gringos, expats, and Latins do this. So you might say this is for entertainment purposes only. Ha ha ha. Anyway, basically, you're going to make a deal with the owner that you're going to write him two checks. So let's say in this case, you write one check for $50,000 and another check for $150,000. Total, $200,000. The deal that you settled on with the owner. Now, sooner or later, you're going to have to go down to the municipality and register yourself as a new property owner. You know, transfer of title and all that. Or maybe your SA corporation is going to own it. Better yet, because then no one will be able to attach it in a settlement or a lawsuit that's against you personally. But you knew that already, right? Oh, and by the way, that's one move many expats and smart gringos make as soon as they get down here. They get an SA corporation going. And even if it does nothing for a while, maybe even years, eventually it starts owning things. Cars, boats, houses, businesses. But you knew that too, didn't you? So anyway, like I said, you're going to have to register that you're the new owner or your SA corporation is the new owner with the municipality at some time or other, because the tax bills are going to be sent out. And if it's in the other guy's name and you've bought the place already and the deal's been done, well, that could cause some problems for you later. So you want things to be on the up and up with the municipality in that the names and the ownership are correct. As far as the actual value of the property, that's never really on the up and up. I mean, come on, this is Latin America, you know. So is misstating the price you paid for a place illegal? I guess it is. So is spitting and smoking in public and running red lights and littering and being drunk and disorderly, too. Not to mention, if you're up in the States, you commit 3 felonies a day, whether you know it or not. Remember the book? 3 felonies a day? So yes, you're lying, or someone is lying. But then again, that's the business of governments throughout the world. Lying. That's their stock and trade. And because Latins are so damn used to their governments lying to them perpetually, they return the favor by lying right back, giving as good as they get. I'm not saying you should play that game. I'm saying almost everyone does down here. So if you want to report and pay more than everyone else does, go ahead. Your choice. So anyway, like I said, most gringos, expats, and almost all Latins will write 2 checks, one for 50 grand in this case and one for 150 grand. Remember, we're not talking about a new property here. We're talking about buying from a previous owner. And when you bring down the newly changed title and the bill of sale to the municipality, showing that you're the new owner, actually, your lawyer will probably do that. That's the new price that will show up in the municipal records for tax purposes. And better yet, what a lot of smart people do, and your lawyer will advise you on this, if you buy an older or existing property that has a very low tax assessment, a lot of times, like I said, if it's a nice, upscale, decent property, it'll already be in the SA corporation of the owner. Then you and he haggle back and forth and decide on the price of the property. You pay him, and all he does is turn over the SA corporation that owns that property to you. Now, you own the SA corporation, which owns that property. Then you avoid the municipality altogether, not to mention any sales or IVA tax, too. Again, IVA down here is the same tax as VAT is in Europe. That also means no one has to go down and submit paperwork for the new owner, because it remains the same owner, the SA Corporation, only now it's your SA Corporation. You get it? Cool, huh? Now, I did say that happens a lot when you're buying an older, upscale property, because the better properties and building projects are generally owned by Latins with some means. That means they're better educated and in the know, and probably upper middle class by Latin standards or better. Meaning, by our standards, they're middle class or better. And like I said, many of these guys use SA corporations to protect themselves. I repeat, most all Latin people of means have SA corporations. But do note, if you're going to buy, let's say, a raw piece of land or a junky little house somewhere, and you plan on, you know, maybe leveling it and rebuilding, you most likely will be buying it directly from the owner, who is not a sophisticated, wealthy Latin, maybe just a landowner, a farmer, whatever, who has had that land in the family handed down for generations and who has no idea what an SA corporation is. He knows about cows and driveway chickens, but SA corporations, not in his sphere of knowledge or influence. That said, if you, the gringo or expat, come down and you see a nice piece of property on the boonies somewhere, let's say, you then make a deal with the owner for $50,000, and the original owner's got it in his name because, well, it's been in the family for 200 years. Meanwhile, in the municipality registry, it's down on the books as maybe $40. I'm not kidding you. In that case, you're usually stuck registering it for the price you paid. So suddenly, on the municipality books, it's gone from $40 as the valuation to $50,000. It's something that would seem highly unusual up in the first world, but pretty common down here. Often, what's strange to us is entirely normal to Latins, and vice versa. Oh, and one more thing. If you're searching for properties and you buy from a real estate broker like Remax or Century 21, whatever, yeah, they're both down here, you'll generally pay top dollar all the time. That is top dollar for Latin America. So beware. I'm not saying you shouldn't use them. In fact, I do advise that you use them. I mean, use the hell out of them. Just don't sign anything or give them any money. Go ahead and ring them up and ask them to give you a nice big tour. Have them show you all their properties. Of course, it'll be on their time and dime and in their cars, too. You'll see the neighborhoods and the houses, and of course, they'll try to steer you to the high-end properties because you're a gringo, That's cool. Let them do that. And if you see something you really like, I suggest you go right behind their backs and deal directly with the owner. And the owners, of course, don't care. In fact, they kind of like it because then they don't have to pay a commission. So then you might ask, what about exclusivity agreements? To which I say, screw that. Those things are never enforced and they don't mean crap. So then will Remax or Century 21 sue you or the owner if you go behind their backs? Up in the States they might, but down here there's no such thing as enforcement and exclusivity agreements are not really binding here. As it turns out, most realtors down here don't do crap for you anyway. They just sit on their dead asses in their offices waiting for their phones to ring. Yep, that goes for local mom-and-pop realtors. And of course, that goes double for Latin realtors connected with first-world franchises like Century 21 and Remax. They do not aggressively work in your favor. The fact is, if you want to sell a property and you list it with, let's say, Century 21, after a couple of months or even a half a year of absolutely no action, they'll try to aggressively get you to drop your price to get that commission, which is generally between 3 and 5%. And because of that giant real estate bubble going on down here, once a property's been on the market for 6 months or so with absolutely no action, sellers often become desperate. A very good situation for expat gringos. Oh, and by the way, in the classified employment ads in all the local newspapers and on internet employment sites too, there are just loads of real estate sales opportunities because existing realtors are dying on the vine and they have to be replaced, of course. And those are commission jobs, so it's no skin off the agency. So anyway, when it comes to real estate brokers down here, go ahead, use them and abuse them, but don't buy from them. And not because they're lazy and sit on their dead asses all day long looking at soap operas and flipping through their smartphones, but mostly because, as so many gringos have found out, once you buy something through them, you, the new owner, will have your property registered at the official purchase price. So thus, your property taxes will be much higher than if you play the usual games Latins play when there's just a buyer and a seller and no intermediary getting a commission like a real estate person. Now, I know a lot of gringos and expats who come down looking for a property, or checking it out anyway, they take great comfort in hiring a company like Remax or Century 21, thinking, you know, it's first world and on the up and up. That should signal no corruption or funny business, and of course, someone in the office will always speak English. Well, you know, it's bad enough off the gringo tourist trail, but on the gringo tourist trail, like in Costa Rica, even now in, get this, Belize, Colombia, and Nicaragua, lots of expat gringos are real estate brokers, often Remax and Century 21 guys and gals themselves. That said, if you really want to get taken to the cleaners with gringo prices, go ahead and hook up with one of those guys. Again, it's all about clueless gringos thinking that if they hook up with those guys, they're back in the comfort zone. Yeah, the gringo realtor's comfort zone. Yep, when you phone him up, he knows he's got a live one, and I've got 100 examples to prove it. Oh, and just one more point about the legal versus the illegality of it all, you know, putting down a different price than what you really paid. The governments down here are just so corrupt and so lazy themselves. As expat Eddie always says, you're being foolish if you don't take advantage of every little avenue like that to screw them too, because they'll do it to you. For example, I just saw a news report the other day coming out of Panama. It said the average diputado, that would be senator or House of Representative person, in Latin American government has, get this, 15 full-time bodyguards assigned to him and his family at all times. In contrast to the corrupt state of Illinois, where I come from, where, oddly enough, state senators and persons in the House of Representatives are assigned exactly zero bodyguards. Now, the interesting thing about those two cases is that down here in Latin America, you're probably going to pay a maximum of 10% taxes to the local corrupt governments, whereas up in the States, you're paying at least 50% of your income to those putrid-ass wipe jerks. And you know, as far as most expats are concerned, many pay less than 10%, some almost nothing. So then you might ask, with tax rates so low, or sometimes zero, how can we even say that local politicians are taking a bite out of you and me? Now, of course, most all the money they steal comes from the fact that the World Bank lends billions of dollars to these countries with little to show afterward. Why? Because it's all skimmed off, of course, which just becomes part of a Latin country's national debt, you know, always kicking the can farther into the future, and when they run out of money, they get another loan. You know how that goes. So back to that point, how are they taking a bite out of you and me, expats and gringos? Well, it's mostly through gas taxes at the pump and the IVA, which is the VAT tax. In most Latin countries off the Gringo Tourist Trail, it's around 10 to 12% of everything you buy. And when you're on the Gringo Tourist Trail, or in countries like Argentina, where the economy's always falling apart, their VAT tax on everything, called IVA down there, or IVA, can be anywhere from 15 to 21%, as in the case of Argentina. So that's how Latin governments steal from us gringos and expats and their own Latin countrymen on a daily basis. Except, of course, when you buy things from the gray or underground economy. Like, for example, those little kiosks on the street and those gigantic, great produce markets. No one's charging VAT tax there. Oh, and by the way, Uruguay, a country I don't quite recommend, even though International Living and a lot of the other retirement magazines do, they've got a 22% IVA. Whoa. Which always strikes me funny because you read all the time in the press how the president of Uruguay, at least the former president, was such a man of the people. He had no bodyguards, lived in the same old farmhouse, and had an old Volkswagen he drove to work every day. No doubt, he himself is an incorruptible nice guy, but then why do they need a 22% IVA tax? The fact is, if a government really does run a nice, tight, efficient, minimally corrupt ship, then IVA should be around 2 to 3%, don't you think? So in that case, I don't get it. I can understand why Argentina's IVA is at 21%, and I can understand why Panama's is at 7%, because, you know, the government steals all its money from the Panama Canal charges and related industries. In fact, the past three presidents and many cabinet ministers are under indictment right now for doing just that. And I can't really understand why Mexico's IVA is at 16%. It's mighty high for a country whose high government officials get their extra millions for helicopters and beach houses from their kickbacks from the narco trade. They don't need to drain their own people and tourists with a 16% IVA, but they do. So then why am I bringing up this IVA or IVA thing in the first place, this VAT tax? Well, because if you buy land or a house or a business in Latin America, you're going to pay that country's IVA, IVA, on the amount that you actually register. Which is another reason why so many smart Latins and expat gringos write two checks, like I mentioned before. So, for example, if you're in the Dominican Republic and you're buying a nice beach house for 200 grand, let's say, you're going to get nailed with an 18% IVA tax. That's about 36,000 bucks on the transaction for their putrid thieving government. Which is why local Latins there will do everything and anything to lower the price that they list on the books in the local property registry. So the game there for Latins is, anyway, working people lie to the government to keep their taxes low. The government, on the other hand, lies and steals, and everyone there gets paid way too much to do nothing. Sound familiar? Which is why, in the end, almost all Latins except those born into family wealth would really prefer to sit on their dead asses and work for the government. Oops, sorry about that. I forgot the word work and government should never be used in the same sentence. Oh, and speaking of Latin American real estate, you know, there's a big real estate bubble in almost every Latin American city now, just waiting for a pin to come along and pop it. There are way too many medium and high-end developments and projects, and no one with the money or credit or resources to buy them. On the other hand, I've had a few fresh gringos come down and say, "But Johnny, look, everywhere I see these gigantic billboards for residential towers and mega projects, high-end stuff, and they say things like, only 2 units left or 80% sold, better get in now," in Spanish, of course. "So what you talking about, Johnny? If people are actually buying these things, there's no bubble. It's supply and demand, and the supply seems to be matching the demand." Aha. But here's what you didn't know. Because these days, like up in the States and the rest of the first world, bank interest rates and CDs are very low. The rich Latin families and narcos and thieving political scumbags have switched from bank accounts and CDs where they used to park their money to what they think is the traditional sure thing, real estate. So, when you see a giant billboard for a nice residential tower that says, "Get in now before it's too late, it's 80% sold," well, it's 80% sold to narcos, thieving politicians, and wealthy Latins. Of course, they're not going to live there. They've just bought up whole floors of these places and whole subdivisions. Then, when the project's complete, they contract a real estate broker for the rental and the sales. like Century 21. So then, technically it's true, these places are sometimes 80, 90, or 100% sold. But you see, all you have to do is to drive by at night and see how many of those places actually have lights on in the windows. Lots of ghost subdivisions and dark towers because it's expensive to keep the lights on when no one's home. So then you might ask, is now the time to get in? Nope, it's time to rent. In fact, there are thousands upon thousands of beautiful places down here, brand new places, that you can rent for half or less of what they really should be going for. In other words, these fools who thought they were so smart are losing money. They're parking it, all right, in non-productive real estate and land. In fact, it's costing them money. And that's why so many people come down to places like Cali or Bogota, Colombia, and they see some beautiful condos for $150,000, and they feel this overwhelming urge to get in before it's too late. Well, it's already too late, sorry to tell you. Because you see, another big sign of the bubble down here is that the majority of these projects are self-financing. The owner or the developer is acting as the bank. Now note that down here in Latin America, that kind of situation never even existed 5 years ago. You either had to get bank financing or put up all the cash yourself. And of course, there are all these gigantic billboards and internet ads and newspaper ads with no money down deals. Another little teaser that never existed 5 years ago, and back then, if you'd have predicted that would be the case in the future, people would have laughed in your face and said you were nuts. Because, you know, back then, banks wanted 20, even 30% down to give you a loan. And banks wouldn't even give 30 or 15-year mortgages, unless it was some kind of government-subsidized, very low-income, cracker-box crap housing. By the way, there's a lot of subdivisions like that down here, and those are the ones you want to stay away from. Even if there's a beautiful, guarded, gated, luxurious, single-family housing or condominium complex nearby, you don't want your house or subdivision to be too near crackerbox housing like that. It always signals trouble for the neighborhood. People there have limited educations and lots of kids. So, you kind of know what that neighborhood down the street's going to be like in a few years. And even though your subdivision might be beautiful and well-protected, you still have to drive right through that matchbox ghetto to get to your place. But I digress as usual. Where were we? Oh, talking about the ridiculously low valuations of most of the housing in Latin America. So then, gringos want to know, will I get in trouble if my house is assessed for tax purposes at a tenth of what it's really worth? Well, that certainly won't happen if you're off the gringo tourist trail because there are just no government assessors that come around to your house. Never. Not at any time. In fact, even in the more developed Latin countries where they're trying to be so first world, like Argentina, for example, they are trying their damnedest to reassess some of those properties, but they're not sending people around. They're checking out Google Maps. That means if you call up your local municipality's inspection department, and you say something completely stupid like, can you please send someone out to assess my house? I've just put on a second floor, a swimming pool, and a heliport. My house is worth a lot more now, and I don't want to underpay my taxes. Well, if your brains have leaked out and you do that, guess what? No one will come. Though, of course, if you're on the gringo tourist trail, they might, they just might, make a half-ass effort. And finally, in regards to property taxes, you listeners out there are smart enough to know that you really don't own your house. Even if you've had a mortgage burning party, you just quit paying your property taxes for 2 years and see how fast your house goes on the auction block. So then what happens if you fail to pay your property taxes in Latin America? Well, all you guys and gals out there who get Doug Casey's reports, and I get all his reports, it's a great service. But I notice that sometimes in those various reports, they really overreact. Like, for example, a recent Doug Casey report started out like this. Did you know there are 10 countries in the world that assess no property tax? Then the article went on to say, if you don't pay your property taxes in the other countries, your house will get taken by the government or auctioned. But the article never mentioned that it will not happen like that in Latin America. In fact, Latin Americans in general are some of the biggest deadbeats I've ever seen. Many of them are years, even decades behind in paying their property taxes. Even so, you never see houses going on the auction block for back taxes. Down here, soon enough you'll realize there's a huge deadbeat population in all classes of society, rich, poor, middle class, it doesn't matter. Which is why you should strongly resist making any kind of loan to a Latin person. If you do, and of course that's your business, you might as well call it what it is, a gift, because chances are you're never going to get it back. And I know I'm really going off subject here. Wait a minute, what was the subject anyway?
This is developing into a very bad habit.
Yeah, I know, I'll work on it. Anyway, I can't say that I haven't lent a few Latin Americans money. Every so often I do get touched for 10 or 20 bucks from my maintenance guy or cleaning lady. And they always say they'll pay me back or to deduct it from next week's salary or whatever, but I think that's a pretty evil and Scrooge-like thing to do when these people are only making 12 or 13 bucks a day. Which is why you should never press. Think of it as a gift. And don't think you're going to be the exception to the rule. Now, I know there's a lot of deadbeats up in the States. I got some in my own family. But, like I said, you ain't seen nothing yet until you come down here to Latin America. And a corollary to that is you should never extend anyone credit in business. Not down here. And checks? Well, accept them if you will. But I can guarantee you a good percentage of them will bounce higher than a Super Bowl. So what I'm saying is that Doug Casey thing's a bit misleading. He's saying you should think about locating to one of those 10 countries that has no property tax. I'm saying that if you come down here to Latin America, if you don't pay your property tax, nothing will happen to you or your property until you want to sell it. That's when you'll have to clear your title and ante up. But like I said in a past show, that's why throughout Latin America and all the departments and municipalities, every year or so, they offer complete amnesty to everybody who's behind in their property taxes. In other words, they'll take what they can get without any penalties or interest at all. So it's the inviolable rule of the deadbeat and slow payer down here. There's just so many of them, they're basically steering the ship. You've been warned. Enough said about that. Now, I'd like to remind you that Richard Martin from the Wake Up Call show, you all should be listening to that, by the way. Just go to www.richardmartins.com to hear his twice-weekly shows. He's, of course, of the same mind as we are. That is, the only way to survive the inevitable crisis that's coming is to have a plan B and get the hell out of the U.S. So he's offering a seminar on the other side of the world in Penang, Southeast Asia. So if you have a mind to live in an English-speaking Southeast Asian country, do make an effort to find out about his seminar. So give him a call at 702-609-9962 or send him an email, rm@gfawd.com. That seminar will be from August 23rd to the 28th.
South of the border, down Mexico.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture. He knows.